Hi, welcome to Juicing the People versus O.J. Simpson.
American Crime Story.
I'm Adam Papagan.
And I'm J.J. Stratford. Every week we fact-checked the latest O.J. Simpson television drama and compared against our memories as Los Angeles natives who grew up in the middle of the ultimate media circus.
Images seen in tonight's episode are the real-life images taken from the Los Angeles Times and various tabloids publications. Various tabloid publications. Wow. Well, just the episode this week was so exciting.
I know. I'm all jumbled up.
Yep. Well, before we get into this episode and this week in OJ news, and we have some good tidbits. I didn't tell you, but I have some breaking OJ news.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, you haven't even heard yet. Let's drink some real OJ from our sponsor, Farmbox LA, farmbox.com. Fresh orange juice and produce delivered right to your door. And boy, is it good. It's fresh squeezed OJ. Rich yellow color. Big glass, tiny glass, however you want to drink it. It is good. So last week we were talking about the possible romance between Darden and Marcia Clark.
Uh-huh.
So did an OJ tour this week. And we were talking about that before the tour started. And a guy was like, oh no, she was on Ellen. And she didn't deny it. So then he pulled up the interview with Ellen. And Ellen's like, did you kiss? And she was like, oh, we had a nice time. It's like, but did you kiss? She's like, we had a nice time. So that she didn't deny it. I think Darden and Marcia Clark did kiss. What do you think?
I think that's great. There's a little racial harmony somewhere in this story. But I don't know why they're so cagey about it. I guess they want to remain professional.
They don't even practice law anymore, so I think they should just let out all the details. The public wants to know. You know, they failed the people on the conviction. They can at least give the people
a juicy love story.
Yeah, exactly. Juicy. Juicy, juicy. And also, just right before we went on air, my dad texted to say that he met a guy who used to work out with AC and OJ. Said AC was a great guy, but OJ was a jerk and a cokehead. So there you have it.
Your dad has some really good facts.
He does. They're all about people not being...
They're all about jerks.
Yeah.
Your dad is...
OJ was a jerk. Ron Goldman was a jerk. A bunch of jerks.
I'm going to make sure that I'm always, like, well-behaved and really polite to your dad.
Yeah,
so in the future he doesn't have anything.
Stratford once. She was arrogant.
Yeah, she was such
a jerk.
She was a jerk. She's real cocky.
Mm-hmm. That's what he would say. Is there any other OJ news we need to cover?
Cato Kaelin's, the suit that he wore.
During that famous testimony.
During the famous testimony, sold on eBay for $3,700. I have a picture of the eBay. Here we go.
Did you bid?
I didn't. I really would love to have bought it for you, because yeah. It would look really good on you, especially if you're wearing it in the tour.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know if it would fit. I don't have $3,700.
It wasn't $3,700 when I first saw the auction. I started watching it, but...
Was there any details of how we know it's authentic?
Yes, there are. It says, this is the actual, real, and original suit worn by Cato Kaelin personally in court while testifying on the witness stand in the O.J. Simpson murder case. I loaned this suit to Cato Kaelin for his appearance in court, and afterwards he returned it to me. You can see by the photos in this listing, as well as many of the actual photos, that it's the real suit. A letter of authenticity comes with this item, as well as photos and correspondence which confirm that it is indeed the real deal suit worn and verified by Kaelin. The suit's in excellent mint condition and has been hanging in a garment bag for the last blank years. I think they didn't fill it in. This is a Gianni Versace suit, size 40 regular, olive green in color, a true collector's item of a piece of the most famous murder trial of the last 100 years.
Hmm. Cato had to borrow a suit.
He had to borrow a suit. But he borrowed a Versace suit. So.
Hey, I'm testifying. I gotta look good.
I know, and then I thought, oh, is it like a vintage Versace suit worth $3,700?
How much does a Versace suit cost new?
I don't really know.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know. I tend to buy used, so yeah. I don't really know
what is
high
used?
Fashion stuff is, yeah.
It's used by Kados.
Used by Kados.
Well, I would have liked to have owned it. I don't know if that, I don't even know my suit size. Probably wouldn't have even fit, but.
Too bad Kato couldn't buy it.
Yeah.
So he could wear it
he
on
could use
interview
a suit.
Shows. He could wear it on our show when he's, yeah. Mm-hmm. when he's
when
on
comes
Juicing.
On. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kato does it. I don't think he likes to wear suits, though. He's a surfer, kind of casual guy.
Yeah.
So. But to not own one suit, just go ahead and buy a suit. Be in court. What would have happened if you had to testify multiple days?
This is all going in our fan fiction about Kato. Kato in the suit and his having to take it to the dry cleaner.
He spills something on it right before he's set to testify.
Well, let's jump in.
Yeah,
episode
let's jump
8.
In.
I'm so sad this show's almost over.
Me too. Well, we'll find a way to keep the OJ fandom alive, I'm sure.
Yeah, it has. It's lasted this long.
Mm-hmm. Maybe another show with us together or something, but
yeah.
we'll keep it going. I'm sure of that. So this episode, I wasn't crazy about.
I wasn't crazy about it either. I had to watch it a second time again.
Because of how little you liked it.
Well, yeah, I have like, I don't know, I watch it late at night and I wait so long to watch it that I get kind of like grumpy if it doesn't meet my expectations. Mm. Why didn't you enjoy it, though?
It felt like, well, so every episode, you know, kind of takes on a different aspect of the case, a different person. I don't really care about the jury. I think no one does. And that's why they were sequestered for so long. It was interesting. You know, we had to learn about the jury for the show. I did some research. So that was interesting. But I don't really care about them. They're a bunch of schlubs. They're people who are too dumb to get out of jury duty. So. They're not famous sports stars. They're not flashy lawyers.
They're not Kato.
They're not charismatic Kato. They're not beautiful blonde women. And some of the other people involved in the case. So
The second time around, I found it interesting. There's some real cheesy moments I could have done without. But I'll mention them as we go down the line and see how other people feel about those moments.
Yeah, it was kind of like... it seemed like they're building to a good episode next week.
Oh, yeah.
They had to kind of get this bad episode out of the way. That's what I'm hoping.
But the jury's a key part to the verdict and the outcome of this whole thing. So they needed their little chance to shine.
Mm-hmm. So they were characters for sure. So it starts off with the deputies getting dismissed. Deputy Adam.
Yeah.
I like that. Not a lot of characters and stuff named Adam, so...
Oh, that's why you remember.
Yeah, Deputy Adam.
Oh, I like it that grumpy. It starts off when they're grumpy and they're hungry and they can't eat. And it's like, oh, wow. It starts off with the jurors being hangry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before hangry was a word.
Yeah, that's right. Name drop of the week? No.
No.
Not yet.
In the running.
But then it jumped back 8 months earlier.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, it's a flashback the same story.
Yeah. They could have just started it eight months earlier. But it was kind of like Memento.
Right.
Reminded me of Memento a little bit. Especially with the camera. You know,
well, I like how the jurors obviously all really wanted to be there. And, you know, Marcia Clark knew that a lot of them lied to get on the case. And they thought they had it made. Jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
And then being like, oh, no.
Two suitcases.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was like a Twilight Zone episode when he's like all happy to be in the room. And then he opens the armoire. And there's no TV.
It was like the Twilight Zone. He was like, oh, no. How am I going to live?
Mm-hmm.
I know. I kind of gasped because I don't think I could do it without TV.
It sounds like it sucked.
Yeah.
So the jury was in there for, this is a record at the time, 265 days.
And they were making $5 a day.
$5 a day. But towards the end, the series is probably done talking about the jury, but towards the end of the run, one juror was saying she has financial hardship, And Ito asked if, for contributions from the public, maybe would step in to help. And different organizations raised money. It was over a rental property, and the rental control board, whatever, offered to manage the property at no cost. The Dove Corporation put forth $42,000 to be split amongst the jurors. Apparently they didn't accept that, but Ito was kind of, they reached some kind of deal to get the jurors some money. And then, you know, a lot of them wrote books.
Yeah.
There's some money too.
Those are the crafty ones that know how to do that.
Yeah, I feel bad for all the jurors who didn't write a book.
So do I. It's like, oh.
Did you like the nicknames?
I did, but I was also wish that I could fact check those names.
There was the Santa Claus juror. Easter Island was one of them.
The demon.
Oh yeah, she had
the demon. She was the demon on the defense side, and the prosecution called her the savior.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Interesting. They had there are a lot of those kind of like polar opposite things going on in this episode.
It's weird how the show spent more time with the jury than they do Nicole and Ron.
Well, they're already dead when the show starts.
I know.
They can't just put in too many flashbacks. One flashback per episode.
So what about when the Dream Team is toasting that the glove didn't fit?
Oh, they're happy. That was great. I was like, oh, the Dream Team's getting along. I was really happy about that part. Well, I like to see the Dream Team, you know, celebrating.
Especially Johnny Cochran, who starts singing, like, the Tri-Lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, him and F. Lee Bailey are kind of breaking off into our little clique.
Oh, right, yeah. And, you know, Robert Shapiro's kind of left out.
Mm-hmm. They got mad at Shapiro later, though, when O.J. wanted to testify.
Well, they kind of yo-yo with Shapiro. They're, like, friends with him because they're happy with him right now because it was his idea to bait them to try on the glove.
Dream Team. Well, we're not out of the woods yet with the Dream Team.
No.
I think.
I have a picture of the... this is the hotel room that the jurors stayed in. That's the bed.
That looks like the bed on the show.
Well, I'm telling you, I mean, the art department and the set design, they have plenty of references. Mm-hmm. And they were staying at the Intercontinental in downtown Los Angeles.
I've never stayed there.
I don't know. We should go on a tour there. See what's changed. Expanded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Say we need to check out the room for a TV project or something.
Yeah. Just doing a little fact-checking.
So you have here in the notes a quote that I liked, too. This is the Super Bowl, and we get to pick the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they really said that?
Let's just say they did.
Yeah. I mean, this show's not really about facts.
Yeah. This show is trying all kinds of strange things. And actually, Adam and I are going to a Q&A with the creators and...
Charlotte's husband.
From Sex in the City.
He's moderating it. So if you have any questions you want us to ask the creators and Charlotte's husband, you know, get on our Facebook page, message us. We'll pass those questions along to them.
And you can be sure that Adam and I are going to ask the most questions out of anyone in that Q&A.
Yeah. Should we wear our suits?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We got to look like snazzy lawyers. Mm,
yeah.
We have to look important.
Sustained. Barry Sheck said that. That was cool. Okay, so my favorite part with the jury was when they were arguing about watching Martin or Seinfeld.
Yes.
Which brings us to our name drop of the week. Martin. For those of you who don't remember, Martin was a sitcom starring Martin Lawrence in the 90s. The black jurors wanted to watch Martin. The white jurors wanted to watch Seinfeld. I don't know if you picked up on this. When OJ was having the poker game with his material witnesses, he was talking about Seinfeld.
Oh,
OJ is really white. That's what they're trying to say. He was describing an episode of Seinfeld called The Face Painter, where George has to apologize to a monkey at the end. Now, I did some fact checking. That episode aired in May of 1995. The jury's all black protest and they were all black,
mm-hmm.
was in April. So that timeline doesn't really match up.
And I fact checked what time Seinfeld was on and what time Martin was on, and Martin's on at 7:30 and Seinfeld was on at 8.
7:30. What time zone is this?
So it was actually Martin. Martin was on. Here we can look at the TV guide.
This is probably on Mountain Time though, or something.
But you can look up the top. I love looking at TV guides, by the way. But at 8 o'clock, Seinfeld. At the same time as In Living Color. So really, technically, the jurors would have been fighting over watching In Living Color or Seinfeld. But I think maybe everybody would want to watch In Living Color.
Weren't they watching tapes, though, anyway? That didn't really make sense.
That didn't make sense because I was like, in Blockbuster, you couldn't watch Seinfeld rentals.
Hey, that's another a name modern drop.
Thing.
Yeah, Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Super 90s.
And they said VHSs.
Blockbuster sent over some new VHSs. Hold on, we'll leave that up for a minute.
Okay.
Let's see what else was on
at
this time of OJ. It's Kids in the Hall. It's be Comedy Central. Saved by the Bell.
Wonder Years. Computer Chronicles.
What was that?
Oh, that's a show made in Silicon Valley that would review the newest computers and technology.
Oh, very cool.
Hosted by Stuart Chaffee.
I Dream of Jeannie. 7. That's what I would have been watching.
RoboCop would have been on at 7. Mad About You, also on at 7. What are you going to watch? I have to make a confession, though.
Yeah.
I've seen every episode of Martin.
You have?
I've never seen a whole episode of Seinfeld.
What?
I know.
What are you talking about?
I'm one of those people that's like never seen Star Wars. I've never watched Seinfeld.
Seinfeld is on 4 to 8 times a day.
I know.
Why haven't you ever watched it? You have no interest.
I'm interested in Elaine. Elaine looks cool. You know, I know all the characters.
What?
I've never actually watched Seinfeld.
She's never seen a whole episode.
So I was like,
what do you know about Seinfeld? Okay, I'm interested in this. What do you know about
Seinfeld? I know his first name is Jerry.
Uh-huh. What does he do? What do you think Seinfeld is about?
I don't know. It's about people that live in an apartment in New York City.
What else is happening?
He eats cereal every meal. He has a neighbor named Kramer.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot, but I honestly have never watched an episode.
That's baffling to me. But you've seen every episode of Martin?
I love Martin, yeah.
What's up with Martin?
Martin is one of the greatest comedy. It's basically the Black Seinfeld.
Well, I've never seen a whole episode of Martin.
Oh, you've got to see it. Martin plays multiple characters, too.
Did he play a character named Shanae?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about Martin.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, maybe I should have been on the jury, because I would have been like, yeah, let's watch Martin.
Could have been a peacemaker.
And actually, when they name-dropped Martin, in my head, I started singing the theme song, Martin. And then when Martin wins the watching, the jurors start singing the theme song.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a good touch. Yeah. Those are real Martin fans.
Huh. Okay, wow. I'm learning a lot about you doing this show. This is fun. I would suggest Seinfeld. It's pretty good.
I heard it's well written.
Yeah, it was very popular. It was very popular
for
many years. Still on in syndication multiple times a day. You can check it out.
I saw Jerry Seinfeld walking in Central Park once.
Too. What?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't even care because you didn't even like Seinfeld.
I didn't even know it was him until someone's like, "Look, it's Jerry Seinfeld," and I was oh, he has bright sneakers.
Yeah, he does wear.
He had like blinding white sneakers.
Yeah, he likes white sneakers. Well, what a waste of a sighting of Jerry Seinfeld. Back to OJ. Back to OJ. OJ watched Seinfeld. I have that.
Oh, and the jurors start making fun of the Seinfeld
baseline. Yeah, boo, boo.
Yeah.
The whole episode should have been about Martin.
It was so
Seinfeld.
Goofball, this episode.
It really did.
I mean, that part was not the cheesy part.
That wasn't cheesy?
No, I like that part. I thought it was cheesy that they said VHSs.
It's just a tapes.
That VHS. It's just plural and singular.
Well, and at the time, though, in the 90s, you would just say, yeah, Blockbuster brought some tapes.
Yeah, you wouldn't be like, VHSs.
Okay, Martin versus Seinfeld, Target versus Ross.
Mm-hmm.
You like Ross better than Target?
I like Ross better, too. I should have been on the jury.
You should have been on
Although
the jury.
Although I would have, you know.
What would your jury nickname would have been?
I don't know, the dits.
The dits?
Yeah.
So the defense would have called you.
Uh-huh.
I don't like Target or Ross.
Fair enough. Target was terrible in the 90s. They got a rebranding and revamping.
I did fact check that. That part was true.
What?
They went to Target and Ross.
Yes. And I read that too.
And then the freak out she had at the end. Did you like that?
I love that.
She tried to escape.
It was so I loved it because it was cheesy.
That really happened though.
But she's like,
that's one way to do it.
That's one way to do it. Cut to commercial.
She later went on to pose for Playboy. That's her.
Oh, wow.
Which, by the way, Playboy will take pretty much anybody. Any woman who's in the news.
Yeah.
Gets to pose for.
She was kind of, I was like, they really have a good-looking actor doing this role.
Was she not good-looking in real life?
I mean, she must have. They don't put ugly people on Playboy. Or regular-looking people.
If they're OJ-related. And Faye Resnick was in. She had it going on, though.
Yeah.
We've covered that on previous episodes. So the sequester, did they talk about any of the field trips on this episode? I don't remember.
They didn't talk about the field trips, but the jury did get to go.
They went on a couple fun field trips that Judge Ito organized for them.
Yeah.
Were they his?
Well, the first field trip was to OJ's house.
Yeah.
To check it out.
That was a work trip, though.
Yeah.
That was a work field trip.
Right.
But they went to a Lakers game where they were recognized and had to leave. They went and saw...
At the Laker game, one of the players went, OJ's guilty, and that's why they had to leave.
Oh, whoa.
That's what I read in Pursuit of Justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
They went to see Jay Leno do stand-up. Which, wouldn't there be a ton of OJ stuff?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. They're like, cut out Ito's coming. Don't do the dancing Ito's tonight, Jay.
That was cool, the clip of the dancing Ito's.
I was so happy. I was like, that was
glad they
highlight.
Made it in.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the Dateline special, too.
Although, I don't think that Ito would have been bummed on the dancing Ito's.
He probably loved the dancing Ito's.
Yeah, he was kind of upset about it, but who doesn't love the dancing Ito's?
Village Ito's.
The Village Ito's.
Yeah, the Ito's, man, they were great.
It was a good time for Jay Leno.
Yeah. That's what, during Late Night Wars, him versus Letterman, that's what put Jay over the edge in the ratings, is because he did more OJ jokes, because it was a local story.
OJ is just media gold.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's fascinated by him. Everybody has a connection.
That's why we have three fans.
That's right.
We're the bottom feeders of the OJ media pool.
Well, you know, everyone's got to eat.
Got to get their thing.
Everybody's got to eat. The jury also went on a hot air balloon ride.
Wow.
They probably didn't like it. Oh, I would love to hear what those older black women were like saying about the hot air balloon ride. Oh, okay, we are high up here now. Like, they probably didn't like it. They went to Catalina and got seasick.
Yeah, I read that they were barking at the seals. And I said, does that mean they were throwing up or were they barking at the seals? Well, that's pretty nice, going to Catalina Island. I don't understand, though, how could they leave and, like, not be immediately surrounded by O.J. Simpson stuff?
The deputies would have to vet everything that they did.
Right.
They only got one conjugal visit a week.
They couldn't stand celibacy. It was driving them crazy.
They.
It's probably why they'd only deliberated for such a short amount of time.
They wanted to get out of there.
They want to get home.
Start making love.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, they could see Chris and Marsha having so much chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, oh, man, I can't wait for that next conjugal visit. King-size bed at the Intercontinental Hotel.
Yeah.
Wow. So something that one of our viewers, listeners, wanted us to talk about was the scene with Robert Kardashian and Chris Kardashian. I love watching at the beginning of the show, like seeing what actors are listed in the credits.
Oh, I did that too. Selma Blair. I was like, Selma Blair. They're gonna. Chris is in it. Mm-hmm. They're gonna go do some more revisionist Kardashian stuff.
They had the Kardashian children playing outside.
Jumping on a little trampoline.
No, they would have had a big old trampoline.
I would doubt it if they had a. They were just playing outside. I also doubted that she ever made them lunch herself. But I did notice there's a little. I'll put a picture. I took a screenshot. I'll put it on the Facebook page. But when Chris walks into the room, she's like, "Hi, Robert."
Well, Coke reference. Mm-hmm. Well, he might have been into Coke too. They were all into Coke. It was the 90s. But do you think that they ever had that conversation about Robert Kardashian wanting to quit?
I don't believe Robert Kardashian wanted to quit.
What do you think his motives were? Well, OJ sued him later. What was that whole story you're talking about?
Robert Kardashian was in cahoots with Lawrence Schiller, who is the ghostwriter, the writer of I Want to Tell You, the book that OJ wrote in jail.
He wrote two books?
Yeah, he wrote two books. He wrote I Want to Tell You and If I Did It.
What's I Want to Tell You? I'm going to look it up in OJ A to Z. But here, just keep going.
So this is also where I want to point out that I think that David Schwimmer didn't do enough research. Because Robert Kardashian was kind of organizing this talk that OJ would do on the air afterward, a pay-per-view TV show once he was acquitted. And they were going to recoup so much money from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Robert was in it for the money.
Hmm.
I think he was just like, you know, he joined the Dream Team. He knew their ways.
He knew what he was getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And OJ sued Kardashian?
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm going to read Lawrence Schiller's book. I've been waiting for every day. I'm like, did it arrive yet? Because I've got to finish all. It's impossible to read through the whole OJ library. But someone made a comment on our YouTube page, so I want to read that by next week.
Okay.
And talk about it.
So yeah, we'll pick that up next.
Robert Kardashian did get sued by OJ Simpson after the trial.
So he maybe wasn't as conflicted as Schwimmer is making it seem. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these private conversations are not... There's no way the writers would know about this. There's no way somebody would have put that in their book.
But Chris Kardashian was upset at Robert for being a friend to O.J. Simpson. That is true.
Yeah. But now she seems... over it? I don't know. Now that he's dead.
She knows that the media buzz is all around it, that it's media gold. She's like so thankful for the O.J. Simpson case because it's what kind of alerted them to being popular in the media.
Yeah, her meal ticket and all of her awful children. All six, seven of them. Who knows? Okay, so the jury, since that happened, the jury... the coup, the rebellion. That was, I don't remember that happening. And when I was fact checking some of this, there were a lot of articles like, did that really happen? Well, like, obviously it did if it's in the show. That's kind of a dumb question. But was that a big deal at the time?
I didn't remember that either. But then I just, in Pursuit of Justice, there's like a whole chapter about the jurors. And it did happen. They did.
Over the one juror, the deputies getting dismissed because they were racist.
No, the deputies got dismissed because the one that posed for Playboy complained about them.
Them being racist, though.
Being racist, and I think she was a little paranoid. She thought there were cameras in
her. Right, and the smoke detectors.
I think she was just probably the one that was going the most stir crazy.
Yeah, there's too many jurors. I don't like them. I guess they had to cover it, but yeah, I don't care about the jurors. But then when Dominic Dunn, here's one of them. Yeah. This is the one who beat his wife and wrote a book about.
Yeah.
Is he like outside of the courtroom selling the book?
Yeah, probably right on the street. I mean.
He can get a suit. Why can't Cato? Where's that suit? I want to buy that suit.
I know, that's a really nice color, isn't it?
So there's him. There's three of the female jurors wrote a book later. There was demon never wrote a book. I want to read the demon's book.
Yeah, this is Knox. That's his last name. My ex, she was cool with it. You never know. You know how ladies can get. You're
That's right.
out. Yeah.
You know how women are.
You know how women are.
And you gotta hit them sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You know. She just made a big deal of the fact that I hit her.
OJ's poker games. That was a real thing. Well, we don't know if they're playing poker, but his friends did come and visit him.
He had really, just in typical OJ Simpson style, had a lot of, they were really lenient towards him when he was in jail. He was allowed more visits than most people. It seems like he hardly spent time in the jail cell. I mean, that's pretty crazy to be able to have your friends come hang out.
Yeah, and play poker with Skittles.
Yeah. But I think there's a little joke in there with Robert Kardashian, like you know, we're your lawyers and we're going over stuff.
Mm-hmm. Material witnesses.
We're material witnesses, yeah. Bullshit.
It's a lot of Skittles they had, though. That's the chips. They raked them all in.
The juice is loose!
Juice. Ugh.
Man. What a guy.
If he wants to get on the stand. They never do that in murder trials. That was a little unbelievable to me. Put me in the game, coach.
Put me in the game.
OJ only knows about football.
But you know that OJ Simpson did want to be put on the stand because after he was acquitted, they couldn't keep him quiet.
He missed the attention.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the spotlight. That's what I kind of interpreted that as.
It's a little hard to sit there and hear people talk about you and not be able to say anything for any person. But for an ego like OJ, must have been torture.
I remember he would make like big facial expressions in court. There are a lot of jokes about that.
Mm-hmm.
Be like he would like really ham it up.
I watched the Cato Kalins cross-examination just for fun, to revisit it. Because yeah. I think the show's going to skip it.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're almost towards the end.
Yeah, but after I was like, this thing's all about the jurors and there's two episodes left, they're skipping over Cato. So I went back and watched the original. And they cut to OJ a lot while Cato's talking.
Cato got some laughs, right?
Oh yeah, Cato was great. Maybe they just knew that actor wouldn't live up to how funny he was.
Yeah, they filmed it and they had to leave it out. It's like, I wish we could have gotten the real Cato. They should have done more of that. They only got the real Larry King.
Yeah, they really messed up. That's one of my... Let's ask tomorrow why they didn't cast Cato Kalin as Cato Kalin.
Or more of the real people.
Yeah.
So that scene where Dominic Dunn is talking to Larry King and they have the recreated Larry King set, which they've done a couple times now on the show. How do you think Larry King feels about that? Because he got fired from that show. And now of Larry King Live.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, his contract was up. They didn't want it.
Oh, so they're whatever. Like, you've been on long enough,
yeah,
Larry.
We want Piers Morgan out. But like these back on the set.
Oh, he probably loved it. Yeah, it's like, yeah. I have a reason to wear my suspenders.
I felt bad for Larry King in that moment. Having to revisit such a big part of his life.
Yeah. I never read Dominic Dunn's book. I can't even remember. It's late. I can't remember the name of it. A Town Not My Own.
Right. Yeah. Something like that.
The last chapter is really bad. Because he writes everyone's name. He's like the ultimate name dropper, but then the only name he changes is his own. And at the end of the book, he's murdered himself.
What?
Yeah. It's so bad. It's so bad. All this other stuff is great. I was like, I can't believe I'm so disappointed by this book.
He gets murdered in his own book?
Mm-hmm. He gets killed in his Connecticut home after the trial.
But the rest of it is reporting?
Mm-hmm. But it's juicy up until then. Everything is so good.
And those are all real things.
Mm-hmm. And he talks about how O.J. Simpson's father was gay and a drag queen.
What?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. Sweet Jimmy Simpson.
Whoa.
In San Francisco. He left the family and moved to San Francisco.
Because OJ's from San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, into the city.
Yeah, into the draggier
parts. Into the Castro, probably.
Because then If I Did It, OJ is talking about how he was estranged from his father for many years. But he doesn't really go into it.
That's why.
So there's an argument.
Mm-hmm. I was Googling, trying to find a picture of his father in drag, but I couldn't find one. So that's my new obsession, is to know more about that. And it would make great fan fiction.
Yeah, it would.
Probably the best.
That's
as long as
the
you can
story.
Include Cato. Yeah.
Cato and Sweet Jimmy.
What are we going to do about OJ? He's kind of acting crazy lately.
I'm his best friend and you're his father. Wow, OJ is a complicated guy.
Yeah.
Poor OJ. See, that's the thing, is like, even after all these facts have come out and stuff, everyone still likes him. Everyone's still rooting for him.
Yeah.
Remember before the Vegas trial kind of put a cap on it. But remember, he was one time in the 90s, he was golfing at a public golf course, and a plane crashed into the golf course while he was there. Do you remember that story?
No.
And yeah, it was on the news. Oh, what's OJ doing now? And he probably brought down the plane.
He's just anything to bring the news to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a media magnet. Probably the most, out of all celebrities of this era.
He was kind of a B-list celebrity. But then this really put him over the edge.
Yeah.
This is what...
I love it when a B-list becomes beyond A-list.
Yeah, wow. So yeah, If you're an actor out there looking to break into Hollywood, try doing something crazy like this. You never know what's going to get you attention.
Just do the Naked Gun. Yeah. You're cool. You don't have to kill anybody.
Frogmen.
Yeah. Can't wait to ask about Frogmen tomorrow.
We'll get some good stuff. So, let's see. Fake Larry King.
Oh, so we're at when Sheck cross-examines.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about all that. Yeah. That was pretty good. Fong?
Dennis Fong. I remember in the 90s people being like, he funged it up. And I really wanted them to say it in the show, but I guess that's too cheesy for them, which... Mm.
Yeah, Barry Sheck, that was exciting, that part. And kind of a lackluster episode.
There he is.
Yeah. That actor looks like Barry Sheck.
Yeah.
Who played him.
Barry Sheck always had really greasy, dirty hair, totally, doesn't care.
And he busted apart all the DNA evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Which, on the Dateline show, the juror they interviewed said that they didn't even talk about it, the DNA. Didn't even come up, hardly.
Well, DNA was really new. It was only 10 years old. And the way they had Dennis Fong talking about it in the show was a good example. It's just jargon.
It was with all the handshaking. Why'd they make a big deal out of that?
Now, that's true.
He shook hands with both sides?
Even O.J. Simpson.
What was up with that?
I don't know. I found three different articles from 1995 about the handshaking that I'll put on our Facebook page.
Did you read any articles?
I think that the articles kind of just talk about how it was odd, and that it just seemed like something you would do at the end of a sports game.
Mm.
I think that maybe he was in cahoots with the Dream Team. That's what it seemed like. Through the show, it seemed like that.
Oh, so he purposely gave misleading testimony so that Sheck could shut him down?
I don't know. It should have been in the conspiracy theories episode.
Yeah.
I don't know why he shook their hands.
Strange. Strange Fong.
He funged it up.
There's Fong.
There he is
with the glove.
I mean, he really did do a really sloppy job.
With his bare hands. He collected evidence with bare hands at one point.
And the biggest mistake is that they covered up Nicole Simpson's body with a blanket from her sofa.
Yeah.
Which possibly could have had O.J. Simpson's hair on it. So that was like a pretty good, put some reasonable doubt into the juror's mind.
They did, the defense did a great job. They really did. And why'd the cops mishandle all the evidence? And be racist.
Oddly enough.
History of racism.
Oddly enough, in Murder in Brentwood, Mark Fremin's book, there's the first like four chapters are about how incompetent the LAPD are. And how it's just like a, you know, all these people just kind of, their egos are fighting against each other. They can't work as a team.
After all, they did hire me, Mark Fremin.
Yeah.
That should be the biggest indication that they're incompetent. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was surprised. I thought that his book would defend the LAPD, but no.
So speaking of Fremin, because he's coming back in a big way next week, it seemed like. What do you know about the OJ tip line?
I don't know about that.
So that was real. Uh-huh. It was set up by Shapiro. There was like, to do this, press one. And it was like that thing. The fourth option was to retain Robert Shapiro's legal services, press four.
I love Robert Shapiro.
Yeah. He's very flashy. Brentwood Bob. Brentwood Bob Shapiro. So that tip that they had Fremin saying the N-word on tape came from North Carolina. That's what they were writing it down at the end of the episode. Like we got for whatever. Cochran and Effie Bailey traveled to North Carolina to get the tapes in person. They didn't want anything to happen to them. And Cochran.
And they were all buddied up. They were starting their own clique. Let's go on a little vacation.
Yeah.
Let's pick up these tapes.
I've always wanted to see Durham.
This is it. Yeah.
Charlotte's beautiful.
They were like sharing headphones, listening to the tapes on the plane on the way back.
Lee, this is unbelievable.
This TV show could be a whole season. Why is it only 10 episodes?
You mean it could be 22 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really funged it up. They funged it up, man. I'm telling you. Okay. Well, let's see. What do they have about... I wonder if they have the tip line in OJ A to Z. Any more information?
I really liked Marcia Clark's meltdown after the Dennis phone.
Oh, yeah, when she pushed all that stuff off of her desk.
She had like a full-blown panic attack. But they played some real... This is cheesy point number one for me in the show. The bad kind of cheese. Like the vegan cheese part. They are so literal with the music they choose to like supplement the emotion of these scenes. I don't know what that song was. I never heard it. I was surprised because it seems like every song they choose is a really 90s obvious song.
Another One Bites the Dust. They use that.
I was like, and this is not good.
The montage of
this
the show.
This is not good. How can they be sitting in the editing bay and be like, Another One Bites the Dust? There's
Have you been taking notes on conjugal visits?
It was a montage. You know, the jury photos, like, boom. Changing on the...
Did you rape your wife?
And another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. Stay. Gonna get you too.
And you know that song's not cheap.
Yeah, well, they got FX money. Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of FX, when he was flipping through the channels, they had, because it's a Fox company, the old Fox 11 logo.
Oh, that's...
On one of the channels.
That's what Martin was on.
Yeah. Shenene.
We went The Simpsons, then Martin, Married with Children.
Classic.
And then In Living Color.
I gotta watch Martin.
What a block of television programming.
I've gotta see Martin.
And I've gotta see Seinfeld.
Yeah,
apparently.
You should really do. Have you ever seen Star Wars either?
I have, yeah.
Oh, it's just an example.
That's an example. Like, people freak out if you haven't seen Star Wars.
Yeah. How many episodes of Martin are there anyway?
I'm not sure. A couple seasons.
Did you watch them first run, or is it?
Oh, yeah, when it was. Yeah, I watched that whole block of programming.
Did Martin ever talk about OJ case? They did. George wouldn't be able to see it.
That's right.
Wow. Well, looking forward to next week. What was on the coming attractions? I don't even remember.
I don't get
it's
to
winding down.
This is another juror that...
Oh, her in the middle. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember her from the show.
Yeah.
She's the one who carried two suitcases in.
No, that's the one that... The one that carried two suitcases in is the one that started the juror's revolt.
Oh, okay. What if somebody didn't pack black
clothing?
This
is the woman... This is the... Well, someone was wearing a blue shirt.
Not all of them knew about it.
Not all... Oh, is that...
Yeah.
This is the woman that lied that... She'd been a part of domestic violence. And this was a really kind of, like, horrible part of the show. This is when F. Lee Bailey said, actually, it wasn't legally rape in 1988. Between a husband and wife.
Yeah. In some states, I think that's probably still true.
You said that out loud, Adam.
I'm saying legally. Look, you know, I like the Dream Team.
Yeah.
And they're great lawyers, even... The fictional Dream Team.
Sarah Paulson just, like, she nailed that comeback. She had some good one-liners.
She was hardly in it, though.
I know, but the few times she was in it, she had really good disses. Like, when she said, back alley is not my game, it's yours. You're always talking the truth. Well, the truth came out. Toughen up, Cochran. This is the smoker's lounge. Daycare is on the first floor.
Yeah, yes. That was pretty cool.
So good. I want to believe that really happened.
I bet it did. Was it in...
I didn't read that. I know. I didn't read that.
Well. Yeah, it's she's good. Cool. Great Halloween costume, maybe.
Yeah.
Marcia Clark. I'm going to be OJ for Halloween.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. I ordered the jersey on eBay and the glove, Bruno Mali shoes. I'm going to get as many details as I can.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, I think we've covered everything on this episode, haven't we? Is there anything else you want to talk about? Shu Kardashian.
Oh, I like the mock trial with fake Marcia Clark.
Yeah, I loved her.
I also liked how Johnny Cochran bribed Marcia with a black coffee with two sweet and lows. Ew. I think I'm going to try that tomorrow morning because I was like, ew, the sweet and lows. That's so Marcia Clark, though.
That's what
coffee and sweet and low and a cigarette. What a woman.
Yeah. Oh, and then that note about the book, A Vote for Nicole.
That's got to have been fake.
In the Tubin book, that happened. But the note was probably fake. Like, the defense probably planted that to get her off.
Wow. They're smart. They play dirty.
Great lawyers, I know. Well, I don't have anything else, or do we want to do our joke?
This is another juror.
Oh.
Yeah, let's do a joke.
Is it Darden with her? Ooh, Ito.
Oh, yeah, let's do this Ito. Look at this! Oh, the dancing Ito.
Poor Ito.
I looked up what Ito looks like now. Have you?
Yeah. He has gray hair.
He has gray hair. He looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Just a little older, a little wiser.
Think he would come on our show?
I doubt it. No way.
No way.
He's just so embarrassed by all of this.
Let's not forget about this bag.
The garment bag. Yeah. The bag wasn't even in this episode. We don't need to talk about it.
I know, but I'm going to just show him with the bag every time we talk about him because I want people to remember.
Remember the bag.
Remember the bag. Not the family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still talking about the bag, so. Everybody's got a family. Not everybody has a nice bag like that.
Apparently, in his will, he sent the Louis Vuitton bag to the Goldman family.
Kardashian?
Yeah.
Whoa.
He sent it to Kim Goldman.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means. Why would he do that?
I think they made such a big deal out of it. So here's your bag.
Here's your bag. That seems really... I kind of think that Kim is exaggerating.
Yeah, she didn't come across well on Steve Harvey.
They got a better looking actor to play Kim. Did you notice?
Yeah. And if Steve
Harvey... I'm down for Fred, though.
Yeah, that mustache.
And Ron.
Easy. Yeah, well, he's not even in it.
I know.
Speaking of Ron, I have an OJ joke. I left the book in the car, but I remember one.
Oh, wow.
I remember it. What did Ron Goldman say to Nicole when he got to heaven? Here's your damn sunglasses. Well, good. Good OJ laugh about the murder of two people. We'll end on that. Thank you very much for watching the show, for listening. If you listened to it, check it out on YouTube. If you watched it, download the podcast. If you don't have time to watch a whole episode, check out our Facebook page. That's where you can message us, interact with us, send us your questions for the creators. We're going to ask them. And until next time, this is Adam Papagan for JJ Stratford saying, don't squeeze the juice.